I'm excited to be here this morning. As mentioned, it is my third presentation of the week. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we'll hopefully get through it. Just as I get started here, I wanted to mention a few of the other people who worked on the project. All of them, I think, are in the audience at the moment. Ron Bialik is the president of the Public Health Foundation. Valerie Yeager and Jana Wisniewski, I always say that wrong, from Tulane, who worked with us on a lot of the data analysis. We also have Bill Keck here this morning, the chair of the Council on Linkages. So when I mess things up or when I don't know the answer to the question, I'm going to count on all of them to fill me in. So I just wanted to, I think what I'll do this morning is to start with a few words about how the study came about, talk a little bit about the methodology, but really focus on the results that we have and what we feel like we've learned so far from doing this work. As I get started, I need to let you know that I don't have any relationships to disclose. You mentioned that I work with the Council on Linkages between Academia and Public Health Practice, and this study is an initiative of the Council on Linkages, which is a collaborative of 20 national organizations engaged in public health, and aims to improve public health practice, education, and research. Primarily by fostering linkages between academia and the public health and healthcare communities, building and strengthening public health infrastructure, and creating a process for continuing public health education within the workforce. The Council on Linkages is funded by the CDC and staffed by the Public Health Foundation. So the Public Health Foundation is not actually one of the member organizations. So as the Council on Linkages works to strengthen public health infrastructure, including the public health workforce, it has long been interested in the workforce pipeline and developing an understanding of recruitment and retention. So specifically, who is entering the public health field, how, why do people take jobs in public health, and how do we help keep them there? So originally, as Bill and I were talking earlier, several years ago, the Council had a desire to develop recruitment and retention strategies. And in doing this, they really wanted those strategies to be based on evidence and not just someone's impression or opinion about what was going on with the workforce. But as it turned out, when they started really looking into this, there really wasn't a lot of that sort of evidence or data available that they could use on which to base these strategies. So at that point, the Council really took a step back and decided to start the project by gathering its own evidence. So this led to the Council on Linkages Public Health Workers Survey. This is a national study that was designed to explore how individuals enter the field of public health and why they remain there, as well as their satisfaction with the organizational environment in which they work. To do this, an online survey was developed and distributed to active public health workers in the United States. Potential participants were identified using Train, which is the nation's largest learning management system serving the public health workforce. And at the time of survey distribution in 2010, approximately 70,000 potential participants were identified and contacted. The survey gathered information from these public health workers in four primary areas. So first, we looked for demographic information about individual public health workers. And here we had sort of standard data points like age, gender, race, education. But we're also interested in how long they'd worked in public health, what types of organizations they worked for, what roles they held in those organizations, and where they were immediately prior to entering the governmental public health workforce. Second, we're interested in factors, both organizational and personal factors, that attracted people to jobs in public health. And third, whether those same factors impacted their decisions to remain working in the field. And finally, we were interested in people's perspectives on a variety of factors related to the environments in which they work. So specifically, their satisfaction with aspects of organizational leadership, management, and professional development. So before I get to the findings, we just want to mention a few of the limitations to this work. So as is typical with surveys, the data are self-reported by the people who chose to respond to the survey. It was not and remains not possible to identify all people who work in public health. So the findings are representative of the survey respondents and of the Train community at that point in time, but not necessarily the entire public health workforce. And at one point that's perhaps a little bit more specific to this particular survey. So we focused deliberately on active public health workers, and in doing so, we did not necessarily reach out to people who formerly worked in public health but had left that workforce. So we can speak a little bit to why people chose to stay in the workforce. We can't necessarily speak to why they chose to leave. So, this is what I consider the fun part. The findings. So I want to start with a basic sort of demographic picture. Of the approximately 70,000 people invited to participate in the survey, 11,640 responded, which equals about a 17% response rate. And we did have responses from every single state in the country, some more than others, of course. The majority of these respondents were between the ages of 45 and 64 years old, with an average age of 47. Respondents were primarily female, primarily white, predominantly non-Hispanic. About three-quarters of them were employed full-time, and nearly 50% had been employed in the public health field for more than 10 years, with an average length of public health employment of 13 years. In terms of education, this set of questions is a little bit more complex, so I broke it out onto a separate slide. So here we asked respondents about their highest level of education completed, both when they first entered the public health workforce as well as their current education level. So you can see that at both points in time, the bachelor's degree was the most common highest degree held among respondents, with 37% having such a degree when entering public health, and 32% doing so at the time of the survey. 22% of respondents reporting having a master's or other advanced degree when starting their public health careers, and this actually increased, or looks like it increased, by the time of the survey to about 30%. In addition, we were interested in how many people held degrees specifically in public health, because it's often a topic of conversation, at least in my workplace. So when looking at public health degrees at the undergraduate, master's, or doctoral levels, approximately 10% of respondents indicated that their highest degrees were in that area. Among this group, master's degrees in public health were the most common, as you might imagine, with about 5% of respondents holding such degrees when starting work in public health, and this increased to about 7.5% at the time of the survey. So with that general picture of the survey respondents, we're interested in where they worked and what they did. So as you can see from this chart here, respondents held a variety of professional roles within their organizations, with the most common in this group being that of nurse at about 26%, followed by administrators, directors, or managers at 21%, and then administrative support staff at 15%. We had smaller numbers of people who held a wide variety of other positions, such as health educators, environmental health specialists, faculty, epidemiologists, physicians, etc. And I also wanted to note here that for this question, people could select up to three roles, because we really wanted to capture the reality that people may hold, wear multiple hats within an organization or work in multiple organizations. And we had about 29% of the respondents who did select more than one role, with the most common combination being that of nurse and administrator, director, or manager. So these individuals who responded to the survey primarily worked in state or local government, although a sizable percentage worked in healthcare services as well. So state government was by far the largest group represented, with nearly half of respondents working in that setting. This was followed by local government at 27% and healthcare services at 26%. We had smaller numbers of respondents who worked in nonprofit organizations, academic institutions, the private sector, and then in various other levels of government. And again, as with the previous question, respondents could select multiple options, so there's some overlap here as well. In this case, we had 22% of respondents who worked in more than one setting, with the most common combination being state government and healthcare services. So we were also interested in what percentage of the respondents had ever worked for governmental public health agency. And here we found that about 65% indicated working in governmental public health at some point in their careers, with the majority of these individuals continuing to do so at the time of the survey. So about 60% of the people who responded were currently employed in governmental public health. So we focused specifically on the people who worked in governmental public health because we were interested in learning more about where they were immediately prior to entering that workforce. So here we found that healthcare services and private industry were the most common entry points for people switching careers. And it's a little bit hard to see from the start because all of the different educational programs are broken out. But there seems to be also a large number of people who are entering directly from school. It works out to about 36% if you put them all together. And undergraduate master's level programs were much more common than doctoral or other advanced degree programs. About 9.5% of the respondents reported coming directly from public health degree programs. Oh, and here again, you could select more than one option. So in terms of factors that influence people's decisions to work for their current employers and to remain working for those employers, you'll find, as you can see, many of the same factors appear important in both recruitment and retention. So we had a couple of questions here on the survey, and in these questions, the respondents were asked to rate 19 factors on a scale of 0 to 10, from no influence to a lot of influence on their employment decisions. For recruitment, the specific duties and responsibilities associated with the position received the highest average score, followed by job security and competitive benefits. These three factors were also rated highest in terms of influencing retention decisions, although you can see in a slightly different order. Factors like the ability to work from home or having a family member or role model who worked in public health received among the lowest scores in both of these areas. And finally, I mentioned we were interested in satisfaction with organizational environment. So respondents were presented with 17 positive statements about characteristics of the environments in which they worked, and asked how strongly they agreed or disagreed with these statements. The statements explored facets of leadership, management, professional development. And what I did here was just present some of the highest and the lowest scoring options in each of these sections. So within leadership, 65% of respondents agreed that employees are held to high professional standards for the work that they do, while 33% disagreed that there is an atmosphere of trust and mutual respect within their organization. For management, 64% felt that over the past year, management had made a sustained effort to address employee concerns about safety and security, while 32% felt that concerns about leadership issues were not being addressed. And within professional development, this actually got some of the largest scores in either direction. So 67% of respondents agreed that employees are provided with opportunities to learn from one another. However, 51% felt that there were not sufficient funds or resources available to allow employees to take advantage of professional development opportunities. So I mentioned at the start that the whole reason for beginning this project was to explore strategies for improving recruitment and retention. We haven't exactly made strategies out of this, so I thought I would just end with a few of the things that we've learned from engaging in this work, or kind of our thinking where we are now about this project. So one of the things that jumped out to us was that people do really move between jobs in healthcare, the private sector, and public health. So we often think of people leaving governmental public health for more lucrative jobs in healthcare and the private sector. And although that very well, that's more than likely true, the reverse also seems to be true. For people who are transitioning from another area of employment into public health, the largest percentages came from those two fields. So creating more opportunities for qualified professionals to be able to move between fields and looking for potential hires outside of the governmental sector may help in terms of recruitment. Second, in addition to people entering governmental public health from careers in healthcare and the private sector, I mentioned that there appears to be a number of people joining the workforce directly from educational programs, although not necessarily from public health programs. So this, when combined with the relatively low levels we see of formal public health education within the respondents, and high levels of dissatisfaction related to aspects of professional development suggest that there may be more opportunities to strengthen options for continuing education and training aimed at building public health skills within the workforce. We also often have a tendency, it seems, to focus on salary when discussing issues of recruitment and retention. And here I think we've identified several other factors that public health workers value in making these employment decisions. So public health may not be able to offer the highest salaries in the market, but there are other draws, such as job security and benefits packages, that can be emphasized in recruitment efforts. On the flip side, as we continue to cut things like benefits packages, this is probably going to negatively impact recruitment and retention. And finally, while it is definitely true that salary and job security and benefits all do matter, the environment, as you might assume, in which people work has a big impact on their satisfaction with and desire to remain in their job. And I think here again we've identified some room for improvement. For the areas that we considered, on average, approximately 25% of the respondents disagreed with the positive statements that they were presented with. In terms of respondents' employment decisions, the factors influencing those decisions, the factors that received the highest average ratings tended to be related to organizations rather than personal factors. And so those factors could very well be impacted by the quality of leadership and management within organizations. So strengthening leadership and management skills, really focusing there, could help to improve the organizational environment and retain employees. So with that, I will stop. If you are interested in learning any more about this project or any more about any of the other Council on Linkages activities, I put the website on the slide here. The full survey instrument that we used in collecting the data is also available on our website. And I have put these slides on in the APHA program, uploaded them, so you should be able to go there and just click on the links. And I know we'll have questions at the end. I also included my email address. I'm happy to talk after the session. Feel free to email me anytime. Thank you.